Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Thursday, February the 21st, and we got a bunch to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. I got a little smorgasbord here of topics I want to go over, vent about, rant about, and just some things I want to get off my chest. So we're going to get right to it. First thing I want to start off with, it was reported in the Miami Herald on Wednesday, I believe, that Reggie McKenzie, who has joined the Miami Dolphins front office, he will be sort of based out of California. That, you know, he will travel to and from Miami, but he might not, you know, live in Miami full time. That he will be based out of California. Look, as I said, Chris Greer's running the show. This is his job. He's the general manager, is calling all the shots. Reggie McKenzie is just a senior advisor type role. So I don't know if he's going to be in Miami, you know, full-time. And it sounds like from Armando Salguero's report, he won't be in Miami full-time. Just someone who will travel in every now and then and sort of, you know, look, in today's age with technology, with FaceTime, Skype, and all the technology, you don't need to be in the same place. And for the stuff he's doing and the work he'll be doing, he can stay based, you know, the majority of time out west in California and still communicate each and every day to the people in South Florida he's working with there in the front office. So it sounds like Reggie McKenzie will not be full-time living in South Florida, but will be sort of working out of a satellite home office type of deal in California. Another topic I want to talk about, and it's sort of one of the big decisions the Miami Dolphins have this offseason is who they keep and who they let go, who they move on from. And one of the big names that Miami has to make a decision on is right tackle Juwan James. And should he stay or should he go? James, his contract is up. Miami does have the opportunity to franchise tag him. If they do, they're going to be paying Juwan James upwards and more than around $15 million a year. Somewhere more than $15 million a year. And James clearly isn't worth that. All if they franchise tag James, the only reason you do that is it sort of buys you time to work out a long-term deal with him so you can get him signed up to a long-term deal at a lower salary cap number. So, but I wouldn't expect Miami to use the cap on James. But if you're Miami's front office, I think you have to really consider holding on to James, because if they let him go and sign with another team, you're looking at an offensive line heading into 2019 where you have stability at left tackle and nowhere else. Sitton's going to be let go and cut. He makes too much money, too injury prone. Kilgore, I'm not sure about his future. I don't think he'll return. I think he might be another guy they let go. If he does return, can you count on him for 16 games? And when he is healthy, he's really nothing special. Jesse Davis was really bad last year. I mean, really, really bad. And not someone you can pencil in as a starter this year. And obviously, Juwan James. So the thing here with James is, he'll be 27 in June. He played, you know, fairly well last year for Miami in 2018. The thing with James is, that always kind of scares me, is, you know, James will play two or three or four great games in a row, and then he'll have a few weeks where he looks like the worst player on the field. And that's what kind of scares you about James. But James on the open market, there will be a team out there. You can write this down, set it in stone, and take it to the bank. There will be a team that would pay a right tackle, Juwan James, you know, $9 or $10 million a year over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 years. He will get a 5-year deal with roughly $40 million guaranteed easily. So I think the Miami Dolphins should really, really look to hold on to James. because I think if they can hold on to James at a fair price, you can't go crazy, obviously, because that's how they got in this mess, is overspending on marginal players. And I won't call James a marginal player. He's an average to above average player. But, you know, he's worth a fair market value for a right tackle. And if Miami pays him that, I think then, you know, moving forward, you got your left tackle sort of settled, your right tackle sort of settled, and you just have to revamp the center and the two guard spots. So if I'm Miami, I would really look to hold on to James. There was a quote this week from the new Miami Dolphins offensive line coach, Pat Flaherty, and one of the things he said is he's really high on Juwan James. Where's the quote he had in the Miami Herald? I think it keeps the continuity there if we're able to retain him. We sure hope he does stay with Miami. He's a good football player. I've had the opportunity to go back and watch every game from 2018. He's a fairly young guy also, so he has some things technique-wise that can get better. So, you know, with James here, I hope Miami resigns him. Because even if you're going to tank and even if you're going to blow this thing up and do a total rebuild, let me call it that first. It's a total rebuild. I won't call it a tank. You got to pay a couple guys. And you got to pay a couple guys in key spots. And I think left tackle, right tackle are very much key spots, as well as cornerback, which I'm about to talk about next. So James would be someone I would want Miami to retain. That leads me into the next name I'm going to talk about, Xavien Howard. Obviously, another name that's going to be a hot topic here over the course of the next few weeks as we get into the start of the new league year in early March. Rumors abound. What will Miami do? Will they sign him to a long-term deal? Will they let him play out the final year of his contract? Or will they look to trade him and get something back in return? And my take on this has been consistent from day one. And even if you're a bad football team, which, let's be honest, that's what the Miami Dolphins are right now. We're a bad football team. You got to pay somebody. And if you're not going to pay a guy that you drafted, that you helped develop, then who the hell are you going to pay at the end of the day? So my first choice with Xavien Howard here would be to pay him. Pay him and keep him long-term in Miami. I know there's some questions about his durability and injury risk moving forward. But again, you got to work out a deal where you can probably get out of it after maybe year three or so. But I would roll the dice here, give Xavien Howard big money, and look to keep him. Because I think with a secondary of Xavien Howard and Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, two of your four, or really two of your five, because everyone plays a nickel these days pretty much as a base, two of your five key spots in the secondary are pretty much solidified. You can make a case three of the spots are, because Bobby McCain, I think, is an outstanding nickel corner. So you have a young core in the secondary if you hold on to Howard. Of Howard, Minka, McCain, and yes, you got to fill the other two spots. You got to get those other two spots right. But that's a good jumping off point. And I'm not sure I would move Howard, because if you trade him, what's the best you're going to get? And, you know, we've all seen the rumors. We've all read the articles. You know, the hot rumor, I guess, out there, again, it's just a rumor, is the Raiders part with pick number 24 for Xavien Howard. And look, that's a fair trade. That is more than a fair trade. A first-round pick for an elite Pro Bowl cornerback, more than fair. The thing is, if you trade Xavien Howard, yes, you don't have to pay him, so it helps you salary cap-wise, but now you've got to draft a guy that you hope in time, the next year or two or three, is as good as Xavien Howard at cornerback. So that's the downside. You lose a terrific player. And I'm not sure Miami right now can be parting with terrific players under the age of 30. And Xavien Howard, I believe, is, I think he's only 25, 26. Let me check real quick. I should know that off the top of my head. He's 25. He'll be 26 on July 4th. So Xavien Howard's 26. His best years are probably still in front of him. And I wouldn't be in a rush to trade him. Now, if a team sends an overwhelming offer, you obviously have to listen. If Miami falls in love with one of these quarterbacks in the draft, whoever it is, whether it's Haskins or Locke, whoever, and, you know, one of the teams picking up high, let's just say the Raiders at pick four. Let's say the Raiders at pick four, and you're Miami, and you fall in love with Dwayne Haskins. Fall in love with him. You go, I got to get him. Could you put together a package of Howard, pick number 13, to move up to pick 4 and get your quarterback, hopefully, for the next 10, 15 years. Yeah, it's not the craziest thing in the world. But that would be the only way. The only way I'd be looking to trade Howard. I think you got to pay somebody. I think at the end of the day, you got to pay somebody. And Howard would be one guy I'd be looking to retain and pay. Next topic I want to talk about. There was an article we put up on the website a few days ago, written by one of our new writers, Stefan. Stefan's article was an all-decade team for the Miami Dolphins, heading back to from pretty much 2008 to 2018. He's using that because we're coming up on the end of the decade here. So it's pretty much from 2008 to 2018, the Miami Dolphins all-decade team. And he did a great job with this article. Everyone should check it up. Check it out. It's on the main part of our website, DolphinsTalk.com. I want to go over. I agree with most of it. There's a couple things I don't agree with, but for the most part, I think he got it right. And when you look at the last 10 years, and you put together this all-decade team of the last 10 years, man, you know, it's no shock why the Miami Dolphins have been a bad team for the most part of late. I mean, this is not a great all-decade team. Let's run through it here. Quarterback, I think without a shadow of a doubt, Ryan Tannehill has to be the guy. There's really nobody else here. Anyone pre-2012, I mean, who are you going to go with? Who are you going to go with? This has to be Tannehill. Running back, even though it was really only one big year, he has Jay Ajayi, which I agree with. Jay Ajayi would be the guy. Jay Ajayi would absolutely be the guy that would be the all-decade team running back, because the 1 year in 2016 was a heck of a year, and a year that not many guys have. Fullback, he went Lusaka, Polite. Obviously, that's almost a no-brainer. Wide receivers, here's where I start to disagree. Jarvis Landry for one of the spots, obviously, once again, that's a no-brainer. He's on the all-decade team here for the Dolphins in the past 10 years. The other one he went, Brian Hartline. And I probably wouldn't, I mean, I understand his logic, and that Hartline was that consistent year-in, year-out guy when he was here. But I probably have to go Brandon Marshall. I think Marshall, who sort of squeaks in here in this all-decade team, he's the guy who had, obviously, much larger performances and put up better numbers. Now, Marshall dropped a ton of passes, and he dropped a ton of touchdowns in Miami. But I think I would probably have him over Hartline. But I do see the logic here with Hartline. Tight end, Charles Clay. Again, no-brainer. No-brainer there. The offensive line, really, he's, I think, makes a lot of sense. Left tackle, Jake Long. Tunsil is very good, but just for more snaps and more games over the course of the last decade long there. Left guard, Richie Incognito, I think a no-brainer. Center, Mike Pouncey, no-brainer. Right tackle, I'm going to skip right guard for a second. Right tackle, Juwan James, no-brainer. Now, right guard, if you look at the right guards the past 10 years for the Miami Dolphins, they have been absolutely brutal. And you cannot think of one who you would even put on an all-decade team. But our author here, I thought he did something very creative, and it actually makes sense. He has Mike Pouncey, not only as the center on the all-decade team, but also as the right guard. Because when you think about it, Mike Pouncey played 1 year at guard. He was not very good. But if you don't use Mike Pouncey, you're stuck with guys like Jesse Davis, Billy Turner, or Dales Thomas. It's like, it almost has to be Mike Pouncey by default. So in an all-decade team, you got one guy filling out two spots on the roster. So I've never seen that before. It's creative, and it actually makes sense in this instance because Miami's offensive line, especially at right guard, has been absolutely brutal. On defense, the pass rushers, no-brainers. Cam Wake, Jason Taylor, boom. Defensive tackles, Sue, and Randy Starks, who I have no problem with Starks. Starks was a good Dolphin and a very solid player for Miami. I have no problem there. Linebackers, again, when you want to know why the Miami Dolphins have been so bad over the past 10-plus years, look at the linebackers the past 10 years. So his three linebackers are Kiko Alonso, solid pick, can't knock it. Carlos Dansby, who Carlos Dansby, when he retires, will go down as a great, not a great, great's too strong, a good NFL linebacker. But the years he spent in Miami, he stunk. before Miami and Arizona, he was fantastic. After Miami, he's been, you know, a few places. He's been in Cincinnati. He's been in Cleveland. He's been good. The years he spent in Miami after he got paid, Carlos Dansby ate himself out of South Florida. I don't think there was a restaurant. I don't think there was a coffee shop. I don't think there was a bar that served food that Carlos Dansby passed in South Beach or in South Florida that he didn't stop at and pick up a little bite to eat. Because if you watch the tapes of Carlos when he was prior to Miami and after Miami, he was a thin and shaped guy who was, you know, all over the field. His time in Miami, he was a beached whale and he was slow as slow can be. So Carlos Dansby, but once again, who else are you going to put on this list? Carlos Dansby is the second linebacker and the third linebacker, which really goes to show that the linebackers for the Miami Dolphins have been brutal, is Kevin Burnett. And if you don't know who he is and you have forgotten, I wouldn't be surprised. But Kevin Burnett, you know, had a couple quiet seasons with the Dolphins. But again, who are you going to put on this list at linebacker? The group has been that bad the past 10 years. Secondary, at cornerback, you know, not much of a shock. Brent Grimes and Xavien Howard. Strong safety, Rashad Jones. Now, free safety, the author here went Minka Fitzpatrick. And I get it, because if it's not Minka, then, you know, who's the other safety? You're going to put up Jeremiah Bell? Eh, maybe. You're going to throw out there TJ McDonald? Eh, he really hasn't done much. So, Minka, even though this past year he didn't play strictly at safety, I can sort of get it. I sort of get it and why I would put him on there after 1 year. So that's the list. If you want to read more about the reasonings here that Stefan has about the why he picked these guys, go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. It's up on the main page, the all-decade team for the Miami Dolphins. Interesting read. And it just goes to show when you look at this sad list that the Miami Dolphins have been so bad the past 10 years. It's a miracle they made the playoffs in 2016. It really is a miracle because the talent or lack thereof, you know, just hasn't been there. And hopefully this does change over time here. But, you know, there's not much of a list here to say the least. Last topic I'm going to talk about. And I thought I was all done talking about celebrity Big Brother and Ricky Williams. But no, there's more news. And this news is kind of, it is out there. Let me just say that. So Celebrity Big Brother ended last week. I believe last Wednesday or Thursday. So about a week ago from when most of you are listening to this. And Ricky Williams, former Miami Dolphins running back, was in the final two. And he had a lot of power at the end of the show because he kept winning. So when he won the second-to-last head of household, he got to vote out one person. And he voted out this one actress, who I'd never even heard of, honestly. So he voted her out. Then he won the last head of household. And as part of that, he got to evict two more people. And one of the two people he evicted was Dina Lohan, mother of Lindsay Lohan. Okay. And then at the end of the game, Ricky lost. So after the game, Lindsay Lohan goes on social media. And, you know, Lindsay should not have been on social media because she was either drunk, high, or just totally misinformed. And I will give her the benefit of the doubt in saying she was totally misinformed because she goes on social media and calls Ricky Williams a rapist and says that Ricky voted off her mother because her mother, who's an old woman, by the way, wouldn't sleep and have sex with Ricky Williams, which, you know, that's rough. First off, if you're going to make an accusation like that, you better have facts to back it up. That's number one. Number two, even if you got the facts, you better be careful because you can still be sued. So, and clearly, I would think Lindsay's misinformed. She has since taken down the tweets and the Instagram messages from her social media. And her reasoning for calling Ricky Williams a rapist is, for those of you who didn't watch the show, it's a bunch of celebrities who live in a house. And in this house, you know, there's only two or three bedrooms. So, you know, you're sharing a bedroom with other people. In the bedroom Ricky was in, it was him and three females. And him and the three females formed an they formed a alliance. I mean, they're going to work together, and each week they're going to vote the same way to help vote out somebody each week. They're going to vote in a block. You know what this means. I probably have to explain this to you. So, at the end of the show, when Ricky was voting out these people after he kept winning, he was voting out people that weren't in his alliance. And Lindsay's mother was not in Ricky's alliance. So when it came time to vote someone out at the end, he voted out Dina Lohan because Dina wasn't in his alliance. So after the show, they asked Ricky, well, why did you vote out this one? Why did you vote out that one? He said, because I didn't sleep with them. Meaning, I didn't sleep in the same room with them, and the people I slept in the same room with was my alliance. Lindsay Lohan sees this tweet, or sees this interview, and goes nuts. And here's the tweet that's now been taken down, but it's still out there, and I'm sure Ricky's lawyers have it, and we'll be making a phone call here soon. So, this is from Lindsay Lohan on Twitter. So, Candy Candy and Dina Lohan are respectable women who don't sleep with you, rapey Ricky. You're going to throw shade, talk about a Me Too. You're the worst. So then she goes on Instagram and says something very similar, calling Ricky Williams a rapist. And, you know, once again, not understanding when he said, I didn't sleep with them, meaning he didn't sleep in the same room, and his alliance were people he slept with in the same room. And not quote-unquote slept with sexually. She totally misinterpreted that and called him a rapist all over social media. And, you know, I'm usually against BS lawsuits. And I'm probably not even the biggest Ricky Williams fan. As I said last week, you know, great player to watch on the field, off the field. Really not the best guy for various other reasons. But he's not a rapist, okay? He's not a rapist. Furthest thing from it, if you watch this show like I did every day, he was, you know, the most kind, soft-spoken, respectable person on the show, maybe. The one thing he wasn't was a rapist. And for her to go on social media, this Lindsay Lohan, and call him a rapist, I don't care if she took down the tweets or not. She did claim she was hacked, which every celebrity does when something gets out. Oh, I was hacked. That wasn't me. Nobody's buying it, honey. Nobody's buying it. You put that stuff out there. You misinterpreted why he voted people off, and for one, and for two, why you even cared. It's just a dumb show. It's like, it's not even important at the end of the day. Why you'd even care about that, I don't know. But if Ricky Williams and his people end up suing Lindsay Lohan, I am 100% for it, because I know for me personally, and I'm the furthest thing from a celebrity, I am not a celebrity at all, but if I was called a rapist by someone who has a far reach and can reach millions of people with their social media, I would be upset, and I would be hurt, and I would be offended. So, Ricky, you know, sue Lindsay Lohan. Sue her. Sue her for everything she's got, because she deserves it. And she has no business calling anybody a rapist when she has no facts to back it up. And she clearly misinterpreted the reason why Ricky voted off her mother on a dumb show like Celebrity Big Brother. So, that's all I have for today's show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, and to follow the website, DolphinsTalk.com. And also go to our Instagram page and follow us there at Dolphins Talk. I do have an interview lined up for Friiday's show. I have an interview lined up for Friday's show, and I have an interview lined up for this weekend. I had to reschedule some things, so the interviews this week got pushed back to the end of the week, but look for some interviews at the end of this week, especially the big one, which will drop on Friday. All things considered, knock on wood. Hope I didn't just jinx myself. But if it does get rescheduled, it does, and we'll have a show anyways. So, thanks everyone once again for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.